tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia, con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 911-33-5833. 911-33-5833.
Si tienes hijos entre 4 y 14 años y vives en Madrid, esto te interesa. Este año vuelven los Urban Camps. En los Urban Camps, tus hijos hablarán inglés durante todo el día, sin dar una sola hora de aburridas clases. Aprenderán con juegos y talleres diseñados por nuestro equipo de profesores Vaughan. Cada día con un tema distinto. Crazy Science, un viaje espacial, artes escénicas. Y mientras ellos aprenden inglés divirtiéndose, vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esa semana sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Los Urban Camps de Vaughan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Western Civilization, from Mesopotamia to Silicon Valley. I'm your host, my name is Guy Williams, and on this program I have a special guest. With me this evening is Damian Moya, who is here to talk about classical culture in general, the classics, ancient Greece, ancient Rome, and all the sorts of things that he has condensed into his new book. Good evening, Damian.
Good evening, Guy. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's great to be here, you know, because I listen to you so often. I've listened to so many of your shows, and being here is great for me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. well, the number of things that you have put into this book is absolutely astonishing.
Thank you very much.
There are pages in this book that I thought to myself, I'm going to have to memorize that. You know, this is something that I have always wanted to see together graphically on one page,
yeah,
so that I could have it there as reference.
Totally. It took me forever, to be honest, but otherwise I couldn't remember what I was talking about. So I really needed to put face to every character, right? Because if you don't have that, it's very difficult. That's why the book has over 400 drawings.
Of course.
For you to remember, for you to follow, and some of them are repeated, just for you to follow easily.
Sure. Sure. No, graphically, it works. It's very, la maquetación, right? The layout.
Yeah.
The layout is just delicious.
Yeah. The girl who did it is great. And I always try for you to, because some people are not specialists in mythologies. So what I try is for you to connect the character in the drawing with something that you know.
Right.
For example, if you go for the twins in Gemini,
mm-hmm,
Los Gemelos, then I'm gonna go for Oliver y Benji, Los Gemelos Derrick.
Oh,
so
okay.
Everybody,
yes, yeah,
recognizes them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always try to do that.
Okay. The book is called Oh My God.
Mm-hmm.
The title is in English, but the book is in Spanish.
It is in Spanish,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But everybody knows, oh my God, right?
It's like, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Gee.
Yeah. And a book about mythology. Sure. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It makes sense. Now, tell us why you decided to write this book.
Well, first of all, because I had the time to, because the pandemic, of course, took me a lot of time at home, especially the weekends, because I had to work on El Hormiguero, as I always do.
For people who do not know, The Hormiguero is a television program here in Spain.
Yeah, very well known. And yeah, with Pablo Motos, I play one of the ants in the show. So I always have to work, even in the pandemic situation. I had to be there, but the weekends I couldn't leave and have some beers with friends. And I had always wanted to do something like this, but I didn't have the time. So I, first of all, I started to study about mythology in a deep way, right? Because I, when you're interested, you know a little bit, but then when you go deep, especially since I started listening to you, I got more interested in this thing. And I remember listening to your show about the months, and I was working on the months at the same time, and I was developing a new theory about why months have their names. And I was checking with your theory, with that is the common theory.
The standard theory. The thing is that I didn't go very deep into it. The standard theory has holes in it.
Yep.
And it didn't occur to me, you know, to investigate the way it did to you.
That's what my strength point is, right? My strong point is that, like, looking for mistakes is like, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So I'm not going to accept it just because Herodotus said so,
right.
You know?
Okay.
And that's something that I realize that happens very often when it comes to historians. It's very difficult to convince a historian to change history because he read it in the, like, it was a sacred book or something. But history is not written in stone. History needs to make sense.
Yes.
And some points of history don't make sense. That's why when I realized how it didn't make sense, I went deeply in to study the subject. And I think I found finally the solution to a problem with over 3,000 years.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the months of the year. Now, in agricultural peoples everywhere in the world, the logical thing is to begin the year in springtime.
Yeah, totally.
And the Romans were no exception. They began the year very close to the equinox, right, when the nights and days are of equal length. And you know that spring is coming.
Totally. In fact, primavera, primera estación sounds logical, right?
Aries
is the first zodiac sign, and it is on March.
Right.
So it's all leading to that, right? That the year, it really starts in March.
Okay. And in March, because the Romans were a very warlike people, a very martial people, but martial from Mars.
Yeah, right? Como las artes marciales, right?
Yeah, right,
martial
exactly.
Arts.
Yeah.
And, the arts
and
of the war.
This is what they did. There was a temple to Mars, and the priests came out and danced with escudos, with shields, leaping high into the air. And then they decided who to declare war on for the year.
Yeah.
They went out into the campos marciales, right?
The
Martian fields. And
Campos de Marte,
De Marte.
Yeah.
Yeah, Campos de Marte. North of where the old city was. It's actually in the center of the city today. Il Corso and all of that. That's where they used to go. And then they threw a spear and declared war on the people that they were going to fight.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And so, the Ides of March, right, the 15th, or around the middle of March, that was the time when the new people came into office.
Yeah.
And
like the new president would be elected, right?
Council and all of the others. The idea was that they were only going to be in office a very short time in order to avoid corruption, in order to avoid people becoming too comfortable.
Yeah.
And that they always had two people doing one job.
Yeah.
So that
you had the consul and the anti-consul to be able to block some decisions, right?
Right, right. And to be able to supervise.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a bad idea.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's a bad idea. In any case, these two people took office on the Ides of March.
Yeah, the Ides were special because it was, you had the full moon.
Mm.
That's why it's special.
Yeah.
It's and it makes sense, right? Because in the end, the calendar was based on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So the first was a mobile day. It could change.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on when the new moon was.
Right.
And then everything was fixed because after the new moon, it's easy to continue with Nonai. And,
yes.
And there are 7 days for the next, parte de la luna, no? La fase.
The next phase. Yes.
Exactly.
The new phase of the moon.
The new phase. So. Yeah. That's the thing. So full moon is very, very important, especially for what I found in the investigation.
Yes, yeah. Now, later on, this is a spoiler alert. this works if your enemy is in Latium, no? In Latium.
Mm.
If your enemy is close, then you can plant logistically. You can plan it in a month or in 2 months and send the troops there and fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time to fight is summer. And it works if the enemy is close. But if the enemy is distant, all of a sudden that's going to be a logistical problem. And we'll talk about that later. But
exactly.
Starting the month in March, when you're an empire, logistically doesn't work. It's not feasible.
Yeah. Especially if you don't have planes and stuff. Maybe now we could do it.
Transportation.
We could take it back now because now we can, but we don't make wars anymore. So we could.
We're not an agricultural people. Let's put it that way. There's no reason.
Totally.
In springtime.
Yeah. So they had only 10 months, right? They start the year in March and they only have
10 months.
10 months.
10 is logical.
Yeah. So they started with March.
Mm-hmm.
March, May, excuse me, April.
April.
June, May, June. Quintilis, sextilis.
That's right.
September, October, November, December.
It's like they forgot. Right? They have, four gods, and then, number five, number six, number
That's
seven.
Weird, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it weird?
It is very weird. I think it's very Roman. If there's no reason to name it, then, by default, you give it a number. No?
For me?
Por defecto, no?
When I see it, it's like, these guys are crazy. You can just name five of them and forget about the rest.
Oh, I don't know. You go to Portugal and you have Quinta Feira and, you have the days.
But they start with First Feria,
yes,
right?
True.
That's what I mean. So it's kind of weird. The question here, when I started to write the book is because I had this question. Why isn't September in the seventh position, right? Because septiembre debería estar en la séptima posición, right. Octubre, octava posición,
right. Mm-hmm.
Y noviembre, novena, diciembre, décima. Sin embargo, however, the September is in the ninth position.
It is the ninth month of the year.
Yeah. So, the answer is this one.
So, how do you square that circle?
So, when I find the first answer is this, the year in Rome started in March and it finished in December. Then Numus, the second king of Rome, will add two more months, January and February.
Okay, but before that, let's talk about the months there are.
Okay,
yeah,
let's do that. Yeah.
Okay, March. We have March, the month of war.
The month of war,
the
March.
God of war.
Yeah,
and then after that we get into springtime.
Exactly. Plus, Mars is not only the god of war. He's Romulus and Remus' father.
Right.
That's very important too. So, the god of war, they are a fighter. They were fighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they loved Mars.
Yes.
Because it could have been Jupiter. How come they don't have a month for Jupiter? That's very weird, isn't it? It is weird.
Yes.
Something happens here. It's like, what's going on here, guys? Why don't you have a month for Jupiter? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So they had March, then they had April, and that's another mystery about April. Because April is for Aphrodite, right?
Okay.
The goddess of love.
Right.
But Aphrodite is a Greek name, not a Roman name that it should be Venus.
Right.
So the name should be named Venusa, the month of Venus, not the month of Aphrodite. And that doesn't make sense. Again, we have something telling us there is something wrong here.
Okay.
At least that we know. Then, what else do you have? We have May, the goddess Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Maya, it's like, Maya, really? Who is she? Nobody knows Maya. Who is this girl? And she's supposed to be the goddess of spring.
Yes.
But she's, when you study her, she's not like the goddess of spring 100%. She's more like other different things that I will tell you later when we talk. But it's like, she's the goddess of spring. Okay, we're going to accept this, but still doesn't make too much sense to me. Okay?
Yes.
Then we have June.
She is a person. We know about her.
Exactly.
Yes.
June is the only one that is like, yeah, okay, June makes sense.
Yes.
Because June is the wife of Jupiter. She's the mother goddess.
Right. Juno, the patron of marriage.
Yeah.
The patron of childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fertility.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense.
People want to get married in June.
Mm.
And
she could have been at the beginning of the spring, because if we're talking about having kids, right, is the beginning of spring should have been a good month for her. However, she's in June, she's later, but still, as they didn't have the calendar right, the times of the year were changing. Maybe it was August and it was cold.
Sure.
And maybe it was November and it was hot.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
It's okay. Okay, then we're going to find quintilis, sextilis, and then years.
Number 5, number 6.
Exactly. And years later, we will find Julius and August for Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus, his adopted son,
yeah.
Okay, so
they're going to put people in.
Yeah, exactly.
Because after the gods, you have people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wow, people.
Yeah.
How important you have to be to get a man. That's the most important thing you can have as a human being, right?
Yes.
Because what else can you ask? A statue? That's nothing.
Right.
Maybe a constellation. And in fact, Julius Caesar almost had one. I don't know if you're aware of this.
No, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. He tried to get Libra.
Okay.
He tried. But in the end, it was changed.
Oh, well.
But yeah, he tried. Well, so this is what we have. We have these 10 months. And what's next? Next is this is.
And then a big empty space.
Of course, 2 months. That's nothing.
That's the part of the year where nothing really happens. There are very little, you know, very little agricultural activity in the field.
Yeah.
And people just kind of reduce the amount of food they eat. I mean, it's no coincidence.
It's like bears, right?
Yeah, like hibernation.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
There's no coincidence that, for example, in the Christian tradition, you have Quaresma.
Yeah.
During this time, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's you are forced to reduce the amount of what you eat and the number of calories that you expend.
Mm-hmm. Especially not meat.
Yeah.
Because there are no animals in
right.
the end. It makes sense.
Yes.
So, yeah, in the end, it's just collecting something that comes from the past just because it's what you had.
Right.
Right? But you need to keep the tradition.
Okay.
It's absurd, but it works.
And these Romans were perfectly happy with non-months, with a big empty space in the year.
Yeah.
Until a certain point.
Until a certain point, yeah, because we're talking about Romulus calendar. So we're supposedly we're talking about 753 before Christ, when Romulus creates Rome, and so he creates this calendar that it's lunar, it's not solar, and then until the second king appears, Numus, we call it Numa Pompilio, we say in Spanish.
Numus Pompilius, I believe.
Numus Pompilius.
Yes.
The good thing is that in English it's just Latin, so it's easy. So this king seems very important because he changes the calendar, and the first thing he does is adding 2 new months, as you know, January and February. But here's the news: he doesn't add it as first number 1 and number 2.
No,
the place he places in, it's January is the month number 11, and February it's the 12th.
Right.
So the last
one. After December, which means 10,
yeah,
you get month 11.
Yeah.
If the year is beginning in March, that makes perfect sense.
It makes sense, but Jan, why would you name
Janus.
Excuse me. Janus. So he's giving the name of Janus, that is the god of two faces, the god of doors. Is like the perfect god for the month number one, right? Because mm-hmm. he's like, oh, he opens the year. He has two faces. He's looking at the future. He's looking at the past.
Yeah.
It makes total sense for the first month. But when you study that Numus Pompilius mm-hmm. is giving the name of Janus to the month number 11, doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That's impossible. Nobody would have done it. Nobody would have done this. So this is where I started studying harder, because mm-hmm. I was like, this doesn't make sense. So there's something happening here. And maybe this mystery will help me to solve the whole mystery about months, because there's not a story that months are telling us,
mm-hmm.
right? And they should. Every time you study something about Romans, they are telling you something with
yes.
with the days, with the planets. There's always a story behind, but not with months. Mm-hmm. It's like it's por azar, right?
Right, at random.
It's at random, totally. So here's the thing. I started studying, like, okay, there's no way this can happen. So is it possible that the name of Janus means another thing? And that's why Numus Pompilius gave the name to the month 11 for Janus. I studied hard about it.
Yes.
I found nothing. Okay,
yeah,
so
but he's not very well known, right?
It's not
people
a famous,
don't tell
exactly.
stories about him, right?
There is not even a Greek version of Janus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 100% Roman god.
Right.
This is a clue. It's like, oh, so there is no version. There's not a Greek version. But then I started studying Februs. And that's very interesting, because February gets its name for a festival called Febra, as you know.
Yes.
The Febra is a festival of purification.
Yes.
Exactly. Very good. It's a good thing that you know everything. So the
In English, we talk about spring cleaning.
Spring cleaning.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You're preparing
right
for the new year.
Exactly.
That's the idea. In fact, the date, the exact date of February?
No, I don't.
It's in the 15th of February.
Okay.
So,
just
it's Anidus.
Yes.
It's Anidus again. We're talking about the last full moon.
Oh, right.
And it's like, okay, so Romans were purifying in the last full moon of the year before March started.
Yes.
So, this is important, okay? But then, so is there a god about February? Yes, there is a god. The god has a name. Its name is Februs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Februs is a deity, he's a god. And he's supposed to be connected with Pluto, with the dead, the god of death.
Okay.
Okay, that's what the theory says. But that doesn't lead me anywhere. So I started studying harder about this guy, Februs. And I find that in the same day, 15th of February, there's another festival, very important one,
mm-hmm.
that will lead me to the next clue. That festival is called Lupercalia. I'm sure you know it.
Yes.
Lupercalia is a weird...
It sounds like fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
It is a fun festival. And in this festival, they are worshipping another god. And the god they are worshipping is Faunus Lupercus. We all know Faunus, right? The faun. Exactly.
The faun, yes.
The faun, el fauno. El fauno Luperco. So it's like, who is this guy?
Yes.
Okay, so I start studying who the faun is.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the faun is the Roman version of for Pan. The god Pan. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why la flauta de Pan no está hecha de pan. La flauta de Pan está hecha de madera. Yeah. That's why. It's because it belongs to this god Pan.
Yes.
He's like,
When Pan gets among animals, they panic.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. They panic. Right. Yeah, because it comes from him. Yeah, I adore this. The etymology is great.
The fact is that fawn, fawn was not just any other, human animal?
He's kind of half-half, yes, right? It's 50-50.
Yeah.
Because his legs,
yes,
he has goat legs, uh-huh, and he has the horns of a goat.
The goat horns, yes.
And
later on, people are going to use Faunus as a model for the devil.
Exactly. Totally. Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's later on.
Yeah, exactly.
At least initially, no. It wasn't like that at all.
Yeah, in fact, he kept wolves away. That's a very important piece of data.
Right.
He kept wolves away. He's the god of forest.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Sylvanus. He has something to do with that, right?
Yes.
So, in the end, after these festivals are occurring at the same time, they kind of get mixed up. And Februus and Fauno Luperco end up being the same god.
I see.
Romans start associating one to the other. So Februus is accepted to be Faun.
Okay.
Okay, and that's the key. That's the key of the thing, because if you say Februus is Faun, I have a new suspect now.
Okay.
Faun.
Wait a minute, because we have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
This is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Baugan. 99 euro for 1 year of classes. You can spread the 99 euro over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Baugan.com.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Okay, now tell me you want to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more. Ask me if I care.
Did you care?
No, 20 more.
Come on.
Ahora, más oportunidades. Sigue entrenando tu inglés con tu mejor entrenador, un profesor Vaughan. ¿Por qué no aprovechas también ahora la hora de comer para poner en forma tu inglés? Apúntate a un curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. Seguro que siempre has querido probar el famoso método Vaughan, pero no hay un centro Vaughan en tu ciudad. ¡Voilà! Aquí tenemos la solución ideal para ti. El método Vaughan en una clase por videoconferencia, con los profesores mejor formados para subir un peldaño tu nivel de inglés. Disfruta de todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan ahora en videoconferencia y en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Nuestra avanzada tecnología permite que nuestras clases por videoconferencia tengan la misma velocidad e intensidad que una clase en el aula. En tan solo un par de clics podrás acceder a la plataforma y empezar tu clase. Y recuerda, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿A qué esperas? Entra ahora en grupobaugan.com/clases videoconferencia. Fácil, cómodo y muy eficaz. Sigue poniendo en forma tu inglés.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Baugen 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
Ya está aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con el método Vaughan. El programa tendrá lugar en un colegio mayor e incluye alojamiento en habitación individual con baño privado, pensión completa, material didáctico de Vaughan y, por supuesto, nuestro equipo de profesores de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Beat for Teens, de Vaughan.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughn's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughn via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Western Civilization. From Mesopotamia to Silicon Valley. I'm your host. My name is Guy Williams. And on this program, the first part of this program, I have had a guest, Damien Moya, who is talking to us about his new book, Oh My God, which is all about the classics, all about classical mythology and how classical mythology surrounds us today. We don't know it. We don't appreciate it, but it is ubiquitous. It is absolutely everywhere. Now, on the first part of the program, we were talking about a mystery. We were talking about a detective work on the part of the author. There are some things that just don't make sense, that just don't match up. And how are we going to square the circle of the names of the months? Now, we talked about the months back when there were only 10 months in the Roman calendar, beginning in March and going off to December. December means 10. It's the 10th month. And then nothing. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, the second king of Rome, Numa Pompilius, he is the one who established 2 more months. And instead of calling them 11 and 12, he named them after gods, but very, very peculiar gods, gods that are not in the usual mythology, gods that, as you say, have no equivalent. For example, Janus, right? Where we get January. Yeah. Well, Hercules never met Janus.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
There are,
He doesn't have a Greek version.
Right.
It's a 100% Roman god, and it's like a new one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then we have Februus.
And then Februus. And we were speaking about that. Let's see. Just, before the break, you were talking about how, Februus and another god celebrated at that time of year, Faunus.
Yeah.
How they actually, you know, there was some kind of syncretism where they kind of came together.
Exactly, yeah.
And lost their individual identities, became pretty much the same thing.
Hmm.
We were talking about the Lupercalia.
Exactly.
Which is one of my favorite festivals.
It is.
If I can go back in time. Yeah, it is kind of weird.
Yeah, they're worshipping this Fauno Luperco, right? Faunus Lupercus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, So
okay, you were talking about the fawn as a protector against wolves.
Totally. Yeah, very interesting, because they were shepherds in Rome at that time. Uh-huh. So imagine how important the wolf...
keeping the wolf away.
Yeah, exactly. He should be very important.
Absolutely.
And it's normal for him to take over, right?
And I imagine that February is a time when the wolves get hungry too.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in the end, through this festival of the Lupercalia, mm-hmm. Februs gets syncretized. He gets connected to Faunus. So they are the same god. And that's a key in all this subject, okay?
Okay.
So when let's study a little bit about Lupercalia. It's very interesting because their festival, what they did, they had like young guys, Lupercus, that will start being priests.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an initiation
ritual
with uh-huh. blood, and they will kill a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
They will kill a dog. Why?
Why? Yeah.
Why? Exactly. It's like, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not killing a wolf, but they're killing a dog because they don't have a wolf. But what they pretend to be killing is a wolf. Why? Because it's representing, the sheep is representing Faunus because mm-hmm. he is a goat.
Yes.
Okay. So you kill a goat and then you pretend you kill a wolf because Faunus, and this is amazing, was the one who transformed himself in the wolf that will feed Romulus and Remus.
Yes.
And that's amazing. Why? Because that's the clue I needed to solve the whole picture. Okay? So, Faunus seems to be the wolf that is feeding Romulus and Remus. But at the same time, he's Februs. So maybe, just maybe, February is a month that we are dedicating mm-hmm. to Faunus as the protector of Romulus and Remus. And that would mean something. That would mean that the connection of months could be the origin of Rome. And there should be a whole story told us through the months about it. This is just a maybe. But now we have something in the investigation, right?
Yes.
So another very important clue that I found about Faunus is that he was not only a god, he's the third mythological king of Latium.
Yes.
The third mythological king of Latium. Then that's like, this is very important.
Yes.
Because that means, again, it is connected again with the possibility that months are telling us the story of the origin of Rome. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have this, and it's like,
so you have the connection, and you have February.
I have February
rooted,
with something. I have something with February, but now I have to check in January. Is there a chance that Janus is something else than a god? Well, it is indeed. Janus, before being a god, he was a human being. He came from Thessaly. He comes from Thessaly as a human, and he goes to until the Latium. Mm-hmm. So, and he meets the queen of the place. He gets married to her, and he becomes the king. He becomes the first king of the Latium.
Okay.
So
is
now
it logical.
It's very logical.
Yes.
Now we have the first king of the Latium giving the name to the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, the third king is giving name to the second month. Okay, so there are two kings of the Latium, and both of them are connected to the beginning of Rome. Something very important. So, and now it would make sense for Numa Pompilius to give the name of Janus to the month 11, because he was not the god of two faces. He was not the god. The god of doors yet.
Mm-hmm.
He was not that yet.
Right. This is after he was deified.
Exactly.
He became the god.
Exactly.
Of two faces. But before he was deified, while he was still human, he was simply king of Latium.
That's the thing. That's the thing. So suddenly, there are 2 months that would fix with this new theory. And this new theory, it's great, but we need to check it with the other months. Maybe the other months won't connect with it. Let's see. So let's continue. Let's go back to March. Okay. March is devoted to Mars, the god of war. But he's not only the god of war. He is the father of Romulus and Remus.
Yes.
He rapes Rhea Silvia, Romulus and Remus's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are born from him. They are sons of Mars.
Yes.
Mars. So suddenly it's all perfectly connected. So because it is connected to the beginning of Rome, the beginning of Rome seems to be the key, right?
Right.
Next month.
Their mother, had to go to her father and say, Papa, I'm pregnant. I was raped by a god.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that at all.
Mm.
No.
No, he didn't.
No. And the ones who had to suffer were the poor kids, right?
Yeah.
Cast out.
Totally. Well, in fact, the thing, when suddenly the origin of Rome seems so important, I studied it deeply too.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you know how everything begins with Aeneas coming from Troy, right?
Right.
That's the beginning.
At the end of the Trojan War, a small group of people who escape from Troy.
Perfect.
As Troy is burning down around them, they make their way out of the city. And they have a series of adventures all around the Mediterranean, very similar to the ones that Odysseus
had. Kind of a copy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ending up in Carthage, which of course later was going to
Carthago,
be
Carthago, yeah.
Yes, the hereditary enemy, the big number one, the other for Rome. And there they were in Carthage.
And
Aeneas falls in love with the local girl.
Yeah.
Happens to be the queen.
Dido.
Yes.
And, but in the end, he has to leave.
The gods remind him of his duty, and a duty takes precedence over everything.
Yeah.
And Dido is so unhappy that she throws herself into the flames. And yes. And
she kills herself.
She kills herself. That's the end of Dido. And,
but she says, like, we have to hate Romans forever in Carthage.
Yes.
So
that explains the enmity between the Carthaginians and the Romans, which, of course, the Romans are going to justify as a reason to attack.
But the key person here, of course, is
Aeneas
and his son Ascanius and his father Anchises.
Yes.
These three characters, especially Aeneas.
Oh, it's wonderful because Aeneas, here he is coming with the past and with the future.
Yeah, true. And
yes.
And his
not
father.
Not just Aeneas, but ex-Aeneas and pre-Aeneas and post-Aeneas, right? All together.
And his father, Anchises, has the blood of a king. And that's very important for all this, okay? So Aeneas arrives to Latium, where he will meet Latino, the king Latino of the place that he was the son of Faunus.
Yes.
Okay, so he's the second king of the place. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Latino doesn't kill them. He gets an alliance with Aeneas, and well, they fight some people, blah blah blah. And Ascanius is the only survivor, and he will set a new city named Alba Longa. Alba Longa will be like the seed of Rome.
Yes.
It's like pre-Roma.
The prototype.
The prototype of Rome, exactly.
Alba Longa was, 30 kilometers from Rome, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's like very, very near close, to the south.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Ascanius has sons. They create a lot of people there, and some generations happen until we arrive to a king called Numitor. You may know the story about Numitor. Numitor was a good king. And suddenly, he is betrayed by his brother. I can't remember the name of his brother right now. Do you remember this?
What's the name of this guy? That's why I love your book, because it's right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have it as a reference. I can always go back.
Yeah. Amulio. Amulio. Yeah, that's the good thing about my book, exactly. So Amulio betrays him, and he takes over. So he sends...
Well, he usurps. Amulio is a usurper.
Exactly. He usurps the throne.
Yes. And you know what happens to usurpers?
What happens to usurpers? They got killed. Yeah, usually. But for the time being, he's winning.
Yeah.
He's winning the battle. In fact, he's killing all the possible inheritance.
Yes. Heirs.
Heirs. Los herederos posibles de Numitor. He's going to kill them all. And he only leaves one daughter of Numitor alive. Mm-hmm. That's Rhea Silvia. Rhea Silvia was a virgin. He was devoted to Vesta, the goddess. So she couldn't have kids. So he was not concerned about her. But as we said before, Mars will find her.
No, Mars had other ideas.
Yeah. Mars rapes her in dreams, right? So she gets pregnant of Remulus and Remus. So when they are born, she takes the babies and she doesn't want them to be killed. So she puts them in a basket, just like Moses, and puts them in the river.
Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great was the first one in the basket.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Cyrus the Great. Yes. There's one before Moses. So, she puts the babies in the basket and puts them in the Tiber River, El Rio Tiber, in Roma. So, in the end, they get stuck in La Orilla.
Right, on the bank.
On the bank
of the river.
Of the river. And this wolf will feed them with milk. And as we said before, this wolf seems to be Faunus transformed.
Yes.
Okay. So now that we know this, we can continue with months. Because when you go to April, month April is weird because, as we said before, Aphrodite? Really? Why not Venus? Well, I have news for you guys. Aphrodite is Aeneas' mother.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy. Now it makes sense. And why her Greek version? Because Aeneas comes from Troy. He's a Trojan.
Naturally.
And he's Greek. So his mother was not Venus, was Aphrodite,
right.
And they knew, so they keep this name, and that's why the name it's called this way. That's what I'm saying, okay?
Okay.
So let's move on. Maya, as I told you before, Maya
doesn't appear very often.
Yeah, she's like not famous at all. Mm-hmm. Who's this girl? Come on. But Maya seems to be La Fauna. They call it Fauna. She's the daughter or wife of Faunus.
Mm-hmm.
And Faunus will kill her because she got drunk. And since then, they create rituals for her, feminine rituals where no men could get in.
Yes.
Stuff. But not only that. Not only she's the Fauna. She's called also Bona Dea.
Mm-hmm.
Bona Dea is like Buena Diosa. And Buena Diosa is connected, amazingly.
Yes.
With Acca Larentia. Okay, Acca Larentia, as you know, is the woman that will find... when Romulus and Remus are being fed by the wolf, a shepherd called Fastulus will appear and will find them.
Mm-hmm.
And he will take him and he will give him to his wife, called Acca Larentia. So Maya is also Acca Larentia.
Okay.
Okay, so she's again connected in that way to...
To the story.
To the story of Romulus and Remus and Aeneas.
Yes.
Okay? And then we have left June. June, if you read the Aeneida, the trip of Aeneas coming from Troy to the Latio, to the Latio.
Yes.
You will see that he has an enemy. His enemy is June. She hates Trojans. She hates them. Why? Because of them.
Yeah.
As you know.
During the Trojan War, she was...
Because of the myth of Paris.
Right.
Right? Because he didn't choose June, meaning Hera.
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 Yeah.
as the most beautiful one. So he gave the golden apple to Aphrodite. Aphrodite is not, so Aphrodite will be the protector of all the Trojans. And she will protect Aeneas in his trip, not only because he's a Trojan, but as I said before, he is her son.
Right.
But June is the enemy. She's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a main character in all this. She's very important. And in the end, she has to admit that destiny has to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Because destiny had said to Aeneas, you will found a city, not only a city, mm-hmm. an eternal one. Uh-huh. You will found an eternal city, Roma, la ciudad eterna, the right. eternal city.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we know it, right?
Yes.
And that was Apollo the oracle. Who's saying that. Okay, so suddenly everything fixes. Everything matches with the theory. We have all the months, January, February, March, April, May, June are fitting in the theory,
in the foundation story.
In the foundation story of Rome. And it makes sense. It's a good thing to talk about when it comes to months, right?
Yes.
It's like, it makes sense.
Right. And and now you can list the months and see how they all fit into the narrative scheme of things.
Exactly. It's like now months are telling us something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's this myth that we all should know and we are not studying in school. But still, we have July and August, and we haven't talked about them yet. So, are they just because, or do they fit in the theory? Let's see.
Because we talked about, Julius Caesar and Augustus were people rather than gods.
Exactly. But they are not the only people who have tried to get a month. Nero tried to have one, Neroniano, to a month.
Yes.
Some other dictators or emperors
yes.
tried to get them one.
But it didn't stick. It didn't stick.
No. But so why Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus got one? Okay. The idea is from Caesar Augustus, Julius Caesar's adopted son. He's the one who will hire Virgilius to write the Aeneida, the story about Aeneas coming to the Latium, okay?
Mm-hmm. And you know that Virgil wanted to burn it.
Yeah?
Yes, he gave orders to burn it.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, he was not happy.
No, right?
He was trying to compare himself to Homer.
Yeah, he's not that good.
Well, he didn't think he was that good. And so, yeah, fortunately, they ignored the orders.
Totally,
yes.
Fortunately.
And published it, yes.
Because maybe it's not that good, but it's very important for us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it's helping us to solve all this thing. So, one of the things Caesar Augustus tells Virgilius is that he has to change one name. Ascanius, the son of Aeneas, has to have a different name. Not only Ascanius, but Iulius. His new name is going to be Julius. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to connect Julius Caesar to Julius. And when we talk about Gens Julia, that's where Julius Caesar comes from. He's trying to connect.
A Gens is a kind of a
family.
Yes. Like a dynasty within.
Exactly.
Dynasty
is a very good word.
Yeah.
That's so accurate. So yes, he's trying to get connected to Ascanius, to Aeneas, and Anchises.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he doing that? Why is it so important? Because, as I told you, Anchises, Aeneas' father, has king's blood, okay? He has the kings of Troy's blood. And what does that mean? If you see here, and you have this árbol genealógico, genealogical tree that you have in the book. You will see how you have Aeneas, his father Anchises, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Anchises' father? Capys. Okay, you go up as Arcao. Then you have Tros, that he will give name to Troy.
Yes.
The next one is Erictonio. The next one is Dardano, that will give the name to Dardania. That's the area.
The area, yes.
And who's Dardano's father? The motherfucking Zeus! So, what he's saying in the end is Julius Caesar has the blood of Zeus. Mm-hmm. And that's why he deserves a month. You can't just have 1 month without having a god's blood, right?
True.
You need it. That's why he created all this.
Yes.
And Caesar Augustus, his son, maybe not 100%, but because he's adopted, but it's enough. He's Gens Julia too.
Right.
So in the end, it's okay. As far as you are Gens Julia, you have the right to be a month.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So everything fits in the theory. So I'm totally crazy because I think that I found something so important for humanity that it's the origin of months, and now it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a story that I'm surprised because I never heard it before.
It's crazy.
And yeah. And you seem to have uncovered something that other people simply overlooked. As I was saying earlier, I kind of had the pieces, you know, because I know this background.
Yeah.
But I never put those pieces together.
That's the thing, putting things together. That's the key in history. That's something I'm missing when I study history, because I realize how we study parts of history, but we don't study it all. We really need this subject to be three-dimensional, mm-hmm. you know? We need 3D in here, because otherwise we can't understand how deep it goes. Because it goes really deep and it's very hard to understand.
Yeah.
I guess people listening at home right now, it's very difficult to follow. You really need to read the book little by little and to understand the thing. But I honestly think that once this is accepted, it will be very easy to understand, because now it's difficult because I need to derrocar the current version.
To overthrow the current version.
But once it is accepted, it's very easy.
Yeah.
We just need to study Aeneas' travel. That's
right.
All.
Right.
And we will understand why months are called this way.
Okay. Well, if you look at it like this, it makes perfect sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we've run out of time.
Just in time.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening. And please, and thank you, Damian, for being here.
No, thank you for having me. Not many people have a show where I can tell all these.
That's right.